This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, top stories of the day. Federal prosecutors, this is according to ESPN, David Purdom. Federal prosecutors said Monday that they had developed evidence that Terry Rozier solicited and received a bribe during an alleged gambling scheme, and that they were planning to file additional charges against the veteran NBA player in the coming weeks. Assistant U.S. Attorney Caitlin Farrell said in court in New York City that the government expects to file superseding charges of sports bribery and honest services wire fraud against Rozier by mid-May. The new charges from the Eastern District of New York would make the NBA the victim of the alleged crime. So, Rozier was initially charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud and money laundering stemming from an investigation into suspicion betting on a 2023 NBA game in which he played with the Charlotte Hornets. Monday's hearing was to address Rozier's motion to dismiss the initial charges. I'm laughing for something else, not this story. I'm trying to get through. Now it's even more distracting. Michael is having back issues, so I look across, and it's all I see is grimace. He's grimacing. He's pouting a lot today. So me being the nice host, not co-host, host that I am, I said very kindly, Michael, I don't like your face. So he went and created a mask for himself, and that actually is better. That's better. I will be... Can I take a picture of that? I'm posting that. Didn't like my producer's face today, so had him create a new mask for it. Yeah, that actually helps. Good job, Mike.
I'm going to be honest with you, Brady. It makes it very hard to produce. I don't know if anyone can hear what I'm saying through this piece of paper.
You got to cut out some eye holes and create a little slit there in between the lips there, the teeth. Your teeth are really black, man. You got some cavities going on there, buddy.
Yeah, I believe one of them broke, and then the other one was removed by the dentist, and then one has a giant hole in it, and also there's a booger coming out of my nose.
Your hair situation's gotten worse. I always kind of complimented you on you have thick hair, but you're balding in the middle there, Mike. You didn't think about adding a few more hairs there to the middle part of it?
No, I wanted to be as distracting as possible.
No, this is actually less distracting. I can look up. I mean, it was funny. It was good. Good job by you. But yeah, I felt like I was very kind in that approach, telling you that, you know, hey, I don't like your face today, so please change it. And you did. That's the mark of a true radio producer. And great job by you.
/ co-host.
No, just producer. You know, not co-host there. Let me get through a couple of these, Michael. Los Angeles Lakers star Austin Reeves is optimistic to return to action for Game 5 against the Houston Rockets tomorrow night after missing about 4 weeks with a grade 2 oblique strain, sources told ESPN on Tuesday. He'll be a game-time decision. That's huge. If you are like me, I hate the Lakers. I'm becoming a Thunder hater. I'm rooting for 7. I'm rooting for 7. I want them to beat each other up. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if the Thunder can be delivered any kind of a blow in these playoffs before they get to the Western Conference Finals. And that's, again, that's all assuming. We got you got to win six more games to get to that. You know, you got to win two more games against the Timberwolves, and you got to find a way to win four against the Spurs before they do. But that's what I'll be rooting for on that side, because I don't really want to see the Thunder either way. Even if the Nuggets don't make it, I don't really want to see the Thunder win again, but I don't really want to see the Lakers win again or win a championship. So Reeves is supposed to be back. If not, at some point in this series, I would expect him definitely for the second. And then we're wondering about Luka Doncic as he recovers from a hamstring injury. He suffered back on April 2nd. The original plan was for Luka to be out 10 to 14 days. Obviously, he's been out for a longer period than that. He's working through a 4 to 6 week recovery time. So we are about at that four week spot. So we'll see if he actually is going to make an appearance in the second round. And that would certainly change things in that series. Steelers place seldom used UFA tender on their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. That will preserve Pittsburgh's right to receive a compensatory pick, draft pick, in the event that Rodgers signs with another team before July 22nd. If Rodgers, who is currently an unrestricted free agent, does not sign with another team before then, he would only be permitted to sign with the Steelers. The tender carries a 10% raise off last year's salary, which would pay Rodgers about $15 million for the 2026 season. Do you want to see Rodgers back with the Steelers, or do you want to see Rodgers in the NFL at all? Are we Aaron Rodgers out?
I'm all out on him.
I'm not. I don't think I am. I kind of want to see him get one more shot.
This will he, won't he, is gotten
well, old. It's annoying now. Yeah, just make a decision. Just get it done. Don't mess around with this UFA tender. I'd rather just either you want him or you don't. Let's figure it out. We don't have to play this game every single year.
Just give him some ayahuasca. Say saving this for after February if we make it to the Super Bowl. Sign with us.
Here's some news here. Pete Thamel of ESPN. As the NCAA considers a generational change to the organization's eligibility rules for athletes, some potential clarity emerged regarding one of the most vexing parts of the age-based eligibility proposal. This is interesting to me. I was going back and forth with Kevin Lytle to try to straighten this up for my own brain. NCAA President Charlie Baker told ESPN in a phone interview Monday that the implementation, which had been uncertain, is not expected to include athletes who graduated or exhausted their eligibility in the 25-26 season. So, what this means is they are proposing, Michael, basically 5 years. You start college sports. Once you start classes, you sign up, you go to that school, you have 5 years. Good, bad, or ugly, it's 5 years. So no more red shirt, freshman. I'm guessing, would there be an injury red shirt still? That's something I'm still a little hazy on, but it's 5 years. So this gives coaches a chance to, even if they want to play freshman, they can play them as much as they want and not use up a year of eligibility. The problem that teams like Colorado State have is this is not retroactive. So a guy like Jevon Muniz, the really good guard for CSU this year, has already exhausted the eligibility. He had a redshirt year once, but he's already done it. It would not be retroactive, so he would not get that fifth year. This would be something new taking place as soon as next season or the season after that. But it would not include athletes who graduated or exhausted their eligibility in 25-26. This would be a new rule going forward. Will there be lawsuits? So all those players that are impacted by it now, I would imagine there will be. But Mike, You have to start somewhere, but why not just make it for everybody that's currently playing right now and give them that extra year?
Yeah, you got to grandfather the people who are playing right now in.
It's just one extra year. Just do one extra year. The age-based eligibility would give athletes 5 years to compete in Division I, starting immediately after their high school graduation or 19th birthday, whichever comes first. So 5 years. So I'm guessing, would there be no injury redshirt? Because we're gonna what Kevin and I were going back and forth on last night. This would do away with the freshman redshirt. So if you're like, hey, we want to be careful, we don't want to use up that guy's eligibility. No, this would actually be a bonus because you can play that kid as much as you want his freshman year, just to see what kind of guy you got, and then still have him for four years. Now, would there still be a redshirt freshman that would not count against the 5 years? Is what I'm wondering. Big Hub says, can I come back and play? See, no, it's not retroactive. Although you might have a lawsuit on your hands, Big Hub. You might be able to sue. Because I'm guessing that's what's going to happen. The Division I Board of Directors on Monday directed the Division I Cabinet to advance the proposal. The Cabinet has been discussing the change. It will have a meeting about it, which could include a vote on May 22nd. So next month. Their direction to the D1 Cabinet is full speed ahead on figuring this out, Baker said. So regarding the implementation, the NCAA said in a statement that the Division I board formally recommended Monday to maintain existing rules allowing 4 seasons of competition in 5 years of eligibility for student athletes competing in the 25-26 academic year. New rules are not expected to retroactively apply to student athletes whose eligibility is or will completed by the spring of 2026. 12:16 the time. There you go. Your thoughts on that one. Coming up next, Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies is going to join us. Let's talk some Rockies baseball because, man, this has been a much improved season to start. Can they keep it going as we wrap up the month of April and approach May? Let's talk to Spencer, who's going to be a brand new guest on the whole show. Excited to chat with him coming up next.
Saturdays, 4 code words, 1 big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman, Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Joining me now, excited about this new guest and hopefully consistent guest here on the whole show, Spencer Smith of DNVR Rockies, the DNVR Rockies podcast. Spencer, my man, I've been hearing some great things about you, bro, so I thought I'd reach out and start talking some Rockies with you, my friend.
Brady, I appreciate it, man. I am stoked to do this.
Okay, Spencer, I got to fill you in. I don't know if you're familiar. It's a worldwide thing. I'm sure everyone knows about this, but a friend of mine here, one of our morning show hosts, we did this last year. We decided we'd try to rally for the Rockies, and we said, hey, we're not cutting our hair or shaving our faces until the Rockies win 30. That was tough for us last year. My wife didn't know who I was. My dog barked at me. My kid disowned me. This year, I got to say, so far, I look fairly normal, and we're 13 wins in, my man. So the whole, we call it the dirty 30 here, and so far, so good, my friend.
I love that. You better set that appointment, man. This is going to come way sooner than last year.
I mean, what were they, Spencer? 13 and 55 last year. They didn't get their 13th win until they lost 55 games, so we're well ahead of the game.
Yeah, the graphic comes out every time they win a game that says, you know, last year they won their 12th game, it was 47 losses, and then 13th game, it's 55 losses, and it just continues on, and it's kind of repetitive, but it's almost funny to see it, and it's like every single game they win last year, it was a party was going to be thrown, and this year it's like, whoa, they're actually a competent baseball team out there at Coors Field.
I mean, okay, so you obviously, you cover this team closer than, you know, most anybody else out there. Did you see, I mean, there are a couple of games, 3 games under 500. Did you see this coming in the month of April this season?
No, for 2 reasons. Number one, I expected them to be a more competitive baseball team this year in 2026. the schedule in April is a murderer's row.
Right.
The teams that they have already played and then the teams they got coming up. That was really my main factor of saying, I think I predicted, we wrote an article about our 26 predictions for this year, and I think I predicted them to win 7 games by the end of April. I did think they would be better this season. There was a lot of, you know, they were as bad as it could be last year, one of the worst teams in the history of baseball. But there were a lot of injuries and a lot of other issues that they were dealing with to their starting rotation, to most of their lineup. Brendan Doyle missed a good part of the year, same with Tovar. And so there was a lot that anything that could go wrong last year did. And so I figured they'd be better this year. But even winning 53 to 55 games this year is a 10 to 12 game jump. And that's a lot better baseball team. But I definitely didn't expect a near 500 record in Oldsmobile.
Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies. What do you look at? Because there's been a lot of positives. Anytime you're flirting with that 500 mark compared to where you were a year ago, we can look at the pitching. We can look at Warren Schaefer. We can look at the bats. Is there one thing in particular that you look at and say, this is the primary reason we're seeing the turnaround take effect for the Rockies?
I think it's got to be your starting pitching. And if you look at their ERA, they're kind of middle of the pack. The bullpen's been really good. That's been documented. They've had a couple of blown saves, which really this team could be 16-13 right now instead of 13-16. But I think the starting pitching being competent and starting to go deeper into games, 5, 6, 7 innings, and allowing 2 or 3 runs is giving you a chance to win every game. The offense is still, it's better than it was last year. It's still way behind where it needs to be. But the starting pitching and signing veterans like Tomo Sugano and Jose Quintana and Michael Lorenzen have proved to be really, really solid for this team. And I think those guys are not part of the Rockies' future, and we all know that looking at their ages. But they're starting to build a blueprint for what works at Coors Field. And I think the starters have had some really – their ERA really has been – gone up because of a few really bad outings. It's not like every day they're going out there and allowing 5 or 6 runs and you're trying to outscore teams. Most starters have had 1 or 2 starts where it's been really bad, especially Michael Lorenzen, and the rest of them have been actually pretty solid. 5 or 6 innings, given up, you know, quality start, if you will, 6 innings, given up 3 or less runs, and that's kept them in baseball games. And like you saw this past Sunday, they win 2 straight games on the same day and allow 1 total run. I mean, if you're getting pitching like that, the hitting was not great, but it was enough to win the game.
Well, and you kind of expected that, too, after the series against San Diego. You know, your bats are somewhat rolling in that game or in that series. It's going to slow down when you leave. That's just how it happens. But you did enough, and your pitching was what got you through another sweep of a series against the Mets.
Yeah, I was very cautious on our show last Friday of being excited that, you know, even though it was a gut punch loss against the Padres on Thursday, the Rockies, when they go out on the road after a homestand, that first 1 or 2 games is always a struggle offensively. And it kind of was. They scored 4 runs and then 3 runs and then 3 runs. But when your pitching staff allows 3, 1, and 0, you're going to win all those baseball games.
Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies, and I've just been fascinated watching how they handle the pitchers. Even looking at Chase Dolander and how he started this year. Hey, we're going to start a pitcher in the first inning or so, and then he's going to come in. Now it looks like maybe he'll be considered more of a traditional starting pitcher. We'll see, but that has been fascinating to me to see just who's going to go out first, how many innings this guy is going to go, and so far it's worked pretty good.
Yeah, the job Warren Schaefer and the new pitching coaches and pitching staff have done has been nothing short of incredible for a turnaround from what it was last year. And then when you get guys like Antonio Senzatella, who has a .5 ERA in 18 innings this year, who was arguably the worst starting pitcher in the entire National League last year. And he comes into this middle inning role. Sometimes he comes in the 8th inning and pitches 2 and closes. Sometimes he comes in the 3rd inning and goes for 3 or 4. Like the role of a lot of these players has been so just flexible. And they've had a couple starters go down to the IL already. We expect to see Kyle Freeland back for this Red Series, but they've had to be very flexible and do different things than they've ever done in the past. And for the most part, everyone succeeded in their new role. And it really kind of throws other teams off balance because they don't know what they're going to expect. It's not the traditional, you know, baseball that you think of. A starter goes 6 innings and you have a 7th inning guy and then an 8th inning guy and then a closer. Like they are so far from unconventional in that realm of you don't know who the closer is going to be day to day. You don't know who the eighth inning guy is going to be day to day. And it's thrown other teams off balance, and the pitching has really helped be a part of that.
Now, Spencer, I remember when Bud Black was first hired, and they had this Friends of Baseball event up here in Greeley. I think Dick Monfort kind of helps with that, so it makes sense to have some of those guys speak up here in Greeley. I remember Bud Black, he was just banging his fist on the table like, we are going to have starters go six innings. And, you know, everybody was applauding him for that at the time. But now we are kind of a far cry from that. Is this more of a Warren Schaefer thing? Is this a Paul DePodesta Moneyball type thing? Who kind of began, you know, orchestrating, this is how we're going to handle our pitching, at least for the first portion of the season?
I think it starts with Paul DePodesta, and then it worked down to Warren Schaefer. And when we were at winter meetings, that's when the news came out about hiring Alone Leishman and Matt Daniels and this entire pitching coaching staff that they had changed out from prior years, which everybody was obviously very happy to see. But I think the one thing that they told us over and over again at winter meetings and interviews, all this stuff, was we are looking at every single avenue of making this pitching staff successful. And it's probably not going to be conventional, and it's going to look different. And even Kyle Freeland in one of his interviews said, you know, some of the things I've heard seem a little crazy, but when you had one of the worst ERAs in the history of baseball, I believe over 6.6 last year for the Rockies, something wasn't working. And so you might as well try to change everything and rebuild it from the ground up. And that's really what they've done, especially with their pitching philosophy.
You know, you talk about Leishman too, and he's been fascinating just to watch him in the dugout, you know, calling pitches. And you wonder how that goes over with guys, because we know pitchers can be, you know, a different animal when it comes to that. But I think everybody buying into this philosophy has been also pretty fascinating to see.
Right. I think the buy-in from the players has been huge. And I think that what's helped the Rockies a little bit in this exact realm is the fact that they have a pretty young team. And like Hunter Goodman's not a 10-year vet behind the plate, right? And Brett Sullivan's been in the league for a bit and kind of a career backup. But both of their catchers are younger guys that haven't really established themselves in the MLB and wouldn't be a guy that's like, oh, I'm not taking pitches from you. I'm going to call this game. And Alone Leishman's really has put his finger on every single pitch that's thrown, and I think it's been really helpful. And you see him going out for mound visits when a pinch hitter is called and really going over a scouting report of what this guy can do. And I think, you know, step by step, it's helped their pitching staff a ton. And I'm excited to see what it grows into, because this is the, you know, we've been in a rebuild for multiple years, and I think this is the year that they finally, if you will, tore it down to the screws and are rebuilding from the foundation up and working with some new pitchers, but also working with some of the guys that have been Rockies their entire career and changing what they do to make them more successful at Coors Field.
Well, and Spencer, you just mentioned Kyle Freeland too. Sounds like we're going to get a boost there with the pitching staff. He's going to go today.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great to see him back. I mean, the unfortunate thing about Kyle Freeland, I grew up facing Kyle Freeland in high school, actually, here in Colorado.
Oh, no kidding. So, awesome.
I was the only guy on our summer league team to make contact off of him. He struck out five guys in two innings, and I hit a 70-mile-an-hour ground ball to second base. So I'm holding on to that still.
No, you hang on to that, my friend. There's no way myself or my wonderful producer back there could even come close to that. So you absolutely hang on to that.
Yeah, our whole summer league team was watching him warm up before the first inning, and we had wood bats, and we were like, oh, man, we are toast.
But
Kyle Freeland, being the Colorado kid that he is, we all love him. Yeah. Rockies fans, you know, he basically threw a no-hitter at Coors Field, got kind of hosed on a little fly ball. This is like 7 or 8 years ago, and had some Cy Young votes here, so we all love Kyle Freeland. I think the unfortunate part for him at this point in his career is I don't think he's ever going to be able to pitch a full season again. But if you can get him out there and get 4 or 5 starts in a row, and then maybe he hits the IL and then get 4 or 5 in a row, he is the most competitive guy I've ever seen on the mound for the Colorado Rockies. And that's what's going to be part of this turnaround, is guys getting fiery, guys getting competitive, not hanging their heads. And I think that's a big kudos to Warren Schaefer and the roster that they've built. This team may not be much better than last year in wins and losses, and it may end up still being a 100-loss season, but they are fiery, they're competitive, and they're not just hanging their heads and moping that they're the worst team in baseball like they were all of last season.
And it also seems like there's a little bit of fire with these guys, you know? I mean, when they get called out, they're doing the fishing thing out there when they get to base. The home run coat that they're wearing, I absolutely love it. It just seems like they're having fun, but there's a little bit of an edge with this roster.
Yeah, they definitely, you know, they, if you ask Warren Schaefer, anybody that was part of the Rockies last year, about last year, they shut it down very quickly. They are turning the page to this year. They're changing everything up, and they've started to win games earlier than I thought, which has created a little bit of confidence throughout the roster. And then that confidence turns into a little bit of that fire, right? The celebrations, like, if you do those celebrations when you're losing four games straight to the Dodgers, you kind of look stupid.
Yeah.
But when you split with the Dodgers at home and you're doing some of those celebrations and you're getting confidence and winning some baseball games, it makes it even more fun. And I think guys in the clubhouse are having a lot more fun playing baseball this year, which has been a huge help to not only their record, but just the vibes in the clubhouse and the vibes around the team. And even the national media, I think some of the people are starting to take note.
Yeah, 13-16. They got the series coming up against the Reds. You tell me, man, how optimistic are you? Is this all sustainable? And just how big of a turnaround do you think we could possibly see with the Rockies? What's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me that they're going to flirt with not losing 100 games this year, which to some people and some teams out there sounds like a loser mentality. But in reality, when you won 43 last year, if you take a 20-game jump and win 63 this year, I think that's worth at least celebrating in the moment for the point in the rebuild you're at. I'm a little worried about the team on the road still and their bats, and, you know, hopefully the pitching can keep them in it. I think some of these pitchers will not continue to pitch as well as they have in April the entire year. I think we'll see a little bit of fall off from some guys. But I hope, my biggest hope and one thing that I've been pretty steady on is, as long as this team can be more competitive at Coors Field, think 35 to 37 wins right around that five or six games under 500 at home, I think they can be more fun to watch, number one. But winning at home will give them confidence to go on the road and then help them out there. I don't have a ton of confidence that they're just going to be, you know, hovering around 500 the whole year and we're going to have a reason to check the wild card standings come August. But I think being more competitive at home, I think right now their record is 7-6 at Coors Field. If they can stay around 500 at home, I think that's a huge confidence boost to the fact that they're playing better baseball and they're figuring out ways to win at home, which has been a huge thing that all the front office has talked about all offseason is, hey, we have to use Coors Field as an advantage, not a disadvantage. The other teams have to come in here and play 3 or 4 games. We play 81 a year here. Let's make it to our advantage.
Spencer, tell me, this is the most important one. When are we shaving? When are we cleaning up our faces and our hair, man? Give me a ballpark.
30 wins. I would say by June 1st, you're going to be clean shaven.
Hey, dude, that is great news. I will take that because that's going to be right around the time things start to go south, and not in a very good way. So yeah, I'll take that, man, any day of the week.
Yeah, I think June 1st is a good time to maybe book that appointment for. It might be earlier, honestly. Like, it'll be interesting to see once they play some more of these bad teams. Now, looking at the schedule starting the season, you thought the Mets would be a good team. They turned out to be a bad team as of right now, and the Rockies swept them, right? So if the Rockies are playing some of these more middling teams or teams that are quote-unquote on their level, I think they're going to have a good chance to win a lot more series, and especially a lot more series than they did last year. They're already well outpacing that number.
I'll take it, my friend. Spencer, we're going to be looking to do this with you every single week, man. I really appreciate your time. Tell me a little bit about yourself while we have you. The podcast, I love the work. You know, I told you in our messages back and forth, we've done a lot of work back and forth with the great folks at DNVR, and we're just happy to get this connection on the Rockies side of things. But tell me a little bit about yourself, bro.
So I grew up in Colorado, loved to play baseball. Baseball is always kind of one of my favorite things and my first love, if you will. I've been a Rockies fan since I was a little kid, was at game 163, was at the World Series, like really fell in love with it from a Rockies perspective, kind of in that 2003 to 2005 range. And then started working for DNVR in 2020. I also host a golf podcast. I grew up playing golf and kind of got into the career of golf. And then the Rockies podcast kind of host job opened up a little bit, and I've been doing the Rockies the DNVR Rockies podcast actually for about 4 or 5 years with a bunch of different actual hosts. And now me and Christian are rocking it 2 days a week during the season, Mondays and Fridays. And it's been my dream, man, getting a Rockies credential and going into Coors Field and going into the dugout. I still pinch myself. I've done it 15 to 20 times, and I still pinch myself every time I walk into Coors Field and get to walk onto the field and into the dugout and talk to the players, talk to the coaches. It's been an incredible journey, and we're having fun with it now. Last year was a lot of apathy. We pulled up one of our shows from April of last year and played it on our show yesterday, actually, and it was hilarious to see the different dichotomies from last season to this season. But we're hoping to grow with this team and get excited for the Rockies and have people that aren't the true diehards, you know, kind of the fringe fans, maybe get them back to Coors Field, get them back into liking the Rockies, and the team is helping us do that right now.
Well, how can our listeners go and check your stuff out, man? That, you know, that Twitter account, throw out, you know, where they can find the podcast and everything you're putting together for us when it comes to all things Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, so DNVR_Rockies on Twitter, and then DNVR_sports on Instagram and Twitter as well. A lot of our stuff you can find there. Same with the YouTube channel, DNVR Sports. We go live every Monday and Friday at noon Mountain Time to talk Rockies, and then we do some post-game shows, some watch-alongs, a bunch of other different stuff during the year. And we also do a Friday Rooftop Club where we go out to a Friday game and hang out with everybody on the rooftop, party, drink some Coors Lights. It's been a blast, and we do that basically the second Friday of every month throughout the rest of the year. So we go out, talk to the people, we have a great time, and it's been so much fun, and the Rockies have made it even more fun with their record this year.
I love it. You are a man of the people. Spencer, dude, this is awesome, and I'm looking forward to these chats as we document this season together. Of course, you guys are really going to be diving in on all things Rockies, but to be able to chat with you every week on the show is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it, bro.
Yeah, I am as well. Having a radio shows around this state want to talk about the Rockies again is something I've dreamed of the past 3 or 4 years, because I listen to a lot of radio, and they've always been an afterthought, and I think that's changing a little bit, which is good to see.
No, it's fun. I love it. All right, Spencer, man, appreciate you, dude, and we'll look to catch up with you next Tuesday.
Brady, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, sounds good, man. Spencer Smith, DNVR, Rockies. June 1st, Michael, how do we feel about that? He's given us a June 1st date saying that's when we can cut the hair and shave the beard, Michael.
I'm going to say June 2nd.
Okay. I'm going to say May 31st.
Okay, so he's remaining in the middle of your optimism and my pessimism.
I mean, they got 13 wins. That's already a win in April, Mike. I mean, I don't want them to get swept by Cincinnati. But 13 wins, he even said it. This is a guy that's in the know. This guy knows baseball and follows the Rockies closely. And he's saying, hey, I thought they'd win 7 in April. So we damn near doubled that. So we're ahead of the game. May, the schedule somewhat lightens up. So I know the Dodgers are there. I know Atlanta's there. You got the Mets again. There, I think, you know, we're for sure going to get into the 20s in the month of May. May will be the quest for the 20s. That's where we're going here. We need 7 more.
Now, keep in mind that the Rockies are traditionally good in April and May.
Well, May's good then. Yeah, so don't stop. Keep going.
Well, I am just saying that you guys could get your hair cut pretty early in June, and then the Rockies could go do their normal Rockies thing, and they could have 60 wins on the season while we're expecting them to be really good. They could not be as good.
Well, and if the Rockies start winning more and more games, you know, we have to increase this thing to 40. You know, the
Canner's not going to do that.
The Lordy Lordy can't wait till we get to 40. The next campaign. And the Nifty Thrifty, we're getting to 50 type of deal. You know?
Tanner's not going to do that.
He might.
He won't.
He might. You never know, Mike. I didn't think he'd double down on it this year, to be honest with you. But
I think I heard him say that if it got into July, he would cut it.
Yeah, that's sad. That's sad. I don't think it's going to happen, though. We're not getting close to July.
It's going to be in June.
Michael is right. I'm not doing this. Yeah, there you go. You don't want to do the Lordy Lordy, can't wait till 40?
I guess he's not a real Dodgers fan. Excuse me. I guess he is a Dodgers fan. He's not a real Rockies fan.
He doesn't believe, Mike. He doesn't believe. Speaking of believe, do you know a new Ted Lasso season's coming out?
I don't like soccer, so I don't watch it.
It's a good show. It's a good show. I'm going to make you watch it. You're going to put your face back on, and you're going to watch Ted Lasso. That's probably an HR violation, but I'm going to do it. You have to do it.
Aren't we supposed to watch a movie?
Yeah, The Natural.
Okay.
Are we doing that Friday? Friday. You can do this. You can do it, Mike. We got to find, where can we watch The Natural? Where is it? I'm looking it up because you're not obviously looking it up. The Natural. So we got a baseball movie coming up. It looks like it is.
You can buy it on YouTube, Apple TV, Prime.
You got to buy it?
Fandango at Home and Google Play Movies.
It's not on Netflix?
Oh, apparently it is on Netflix.
No, it's not on Netflix. I don't think so. Tanner says it's on Prime. Do you have to pay for it on Prime? I have Prime. Does that mean you have to pay for it?
Yes, $3.99.
That's silly. All right, 43 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. That was great, man. Spencer Smith. I kept wanting to call him Spencer Jones, Michael, because Spencer Jones had himself a night last night. And, you know, I got a Spencer and a Spencer. So did I slip at all? Did you hear it? Did I accidentally call him Spencer Jones at any point in the interview?
No, but you did call him the Spencer Davis Group.
I don't think that's... What is that?
What? That's a band.
Okay, so are you ready to review our ladies and gentlemen, Friday will be the first installment of Brady and Michael Review Sports Movies throughout the summer because there's not as much going on segment on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Are you ready for The Natural? I've never seen it. You've never seen it. We review it. How are we scoring this?
We're going to give it a 10 out of 10.
No, how are we? What is the process? So you just gave away your entire review. You just gave away your
Robert Redford's in it.
How are we scoring this? I want to do the old school method. Is it a rental? No, how do we want to do it? You tell me.
I mean, we could do the two thumbs up.
Or the sports thing. Cut it, bench it, start it.
Or we could do real sports, fake sports.
No, I like mine better. Yours is terrible. Cut it means you don't want it. Bench it, it's all right. It's good enough to be on my bench. Or start it, it's awesome.
Or we could go by like good sports. Like football is the best, and then hockey... And then
can you not,
farther
why,
down,
stop
basketball.
Being who you are. Like you're not doing anything that's fun right now. Take a break. Put your mask back on. Go stand in the corner. You stand in the corner and you face the corner until we're ready to talk to you again. Okay.
You can't say that to your co-host.
I absolutely can say it to my producer, my board op. 12:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Yes, to the texters, I did post the picture of Michael's mask on my X account and my Facebook account. Apologies, but yes, I posted it.
What is your X and your Facebook?
At Whole Show, or my name is Brady. So... Look up
just
my
Brady. Look You're up. One of those
look
name
up.
Guys?
Look up. My name is Brady. 12:55 the time. Clip of the day. Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.